Tim Versalotti is the director of the Western New England University Poll. He's a brilliant man, professor of political science, and the guy who really keeps his finger on the pulse of what people are thinking. Now, Tim, I have to tell you, I live in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, where we're about to have not one, not two, not three, but four pot shops. We have one that's open right now, and the line is around the block, no matter when you pass it. What's that about?
Well, there's a lot of pent-up demand out there, that's for sure. And we've, in my hometown of Northampton, we had one of the two first pot shops to open right before Thanksgiving. And again, the line was around the block for quite some time. Things have calmed down a little bit as more of these retail outlets have opened. You'll see the demand spread. The state has issued 100 licenses, and so the novelty of it may taper off a bit, or the lines may get a little bit shorter as more and more outlets open. But there's no question there is a market out there for this. What we know from the Cannabis Commission, the state agency that regulates this industry, is that it's brought in $23.8 million in sales since Thanksgiving through the third week of January. Now, the state had not projected benchmarks because this was new territory for Massachusetts, but it seems to be off and running, and the expectation is that in a few years it could generate $1.3 billion in sales in Massachusetts alone.
And how much does the state take of that in taxes?
Oh, the state takes a big chunk. There's the sales tax, 6.75%.
Wow.
And then there is an excise tax. In all, it adds up to 17% of
wow.
the sale. So it's a significant...
So 20% of a billion is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And it's interesting to watch local governments discuss how they'll
spend
the pot dividend. There is a lag in terms of when those tax receipts make their way back. And what we've seen in the communities that my town, Northampton, and a neighboring town, East Hampton, the mayors have said, well, we're not really going to bump up our budgets just yet because we're not quite sure how much is going to come in, and there's a lag. But there it does raise the potential that you could do a lot with this revenue in terms of public works, or pet projects. Or
New York City running the subways, maybe?
Yeah, and so it's interesting because other neighboring states are watching this
Sure. And
saying, and I have to say, I pass by the outlet in Northampton going to and from work. I see a lot of plates from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. It's clear that these shops are drawing from across state lines and pulling revenue that otherwise might go to those states if they had similar arrangements.
And in a recent interview I had with Andrew Cuomo, he made it clear, even though he used to be against it, that he's for it now because he doesn't want to give up that revenue to Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New Jersey.
That's right. That's right. It's fascinating to watch public opinion on this issue as well. It has really shifted over the years as states have entered into this area of sales. First with medical marijuana, which Massachusetts has had for a few years, but then the recreational. If you compare poll data from a decade ago to now, you'd see that public attitudes have changed significantly
Sure.
as people get more and more used to the idea of recreational marijuana sales.
So I want to switch subjects, and I want to ask you about Speaker Nancy Pelosi. For a long time, the Republicans had operated on her, and she was their direct thing, and they made fun of her, and a lot of people didn't sort of like her. Now, she takes on Trump frontally. She gets high marks, at least from some of us, for it. So has her public perception, as recorded in polling, changed?
That's a good question. It's not very common to do public opinion or job approval ratings for the Speaker of the House. And I have to admit, I haven't seen any data, particularly any comparative data on her public image. But it is interesting in that in terms of Republicans identifying Democratic figures that they're going to be critical of. They seem to have backed away from Nancy Pelosi and zeroed in on some of the brand new members of Congress.
AOC and others, yeah.
Yeah, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in particular, who seems to be a very popular target these days. What will be very interesting is as we get closer to the 2020 election, who gets targeted in fundraising? Each party typically will identify figures from the other party and splash menacing pictures of them in mailers or in campaign ads to raise money. And it'll be interesting to see if the focus shifts from Nancy Pelosi, who was a popular target in 2018 and in previous cycles, whether it shifts to younger members. I also wonder if Nancy Pelosi's decision that she will only serve another two terms in order to create a transition for an incoming leadership team. I wonder if that also has prompted her critics to say, well, it's time to size up and set up some other individuals to criticize. So it's interesting. She has become somewhat of a rock star in the media in terms of her ability to take on President Trump and somewhat argue beat him at his own game in the partial government shutdown.
So let's talk a little bit about Special Counsel Mueller. And is he popular?
His investigation is popular, and popular isn't really the best term to use. The majority of Americans support the investigation. They want to see it play out. They want to see what he has come up with, and they want to see public release of the findings. And I think that public opinion may shape how the White House deals with the Mueller investigation as well. All politicians keep an eye on polls, and I think in part that may explain why the Mueller investigation is still going on and why the White House and the acting and now current leadership in the Justice Department have been willing to allow this to play out, because the public wants some answers. The public wants to see the results of this investigation.
Okay, so very quickly, let's assume Mueller comes out with a report and that it's going to be critical, which I think it is. And I think enough people from Flynn and so many people who have pled guilty are going to attach the president to some of this stuff. I believe that. Maybe I'm wrong. But how much does public opinion count? So in other words, let's say that Mr. Barr, the new attorney general, says, well, you know, I said it should be widely disseminated, but I've changed my mind. I'm not going to do it under great pressure from the president, I'm sure. How much will the things you do, when you look at what people want, will count in this?
Let's say the attorney general says that there is privileged information in there and therefore it shouldn't be released. It's incumbent on the Democrats in Congress to make a public argument and rally the public to say this is a federally funded investigation. These are central issues that are important to the people. We need to release this. And then watch public opinion and see if it shifts. If it does, you might see some relaxation of information that's get released. If the public moves on to something else, though, we may not get the whole story. It's very hard to predict right now, not knowing what is in the report or what to expect.
Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, a brilliant man. We are lucky to have him with us, and professor of political science. Tim, you just keep coming back. We can never get enough of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Take care.